At the beginning of this week, I met at the train station a Talmud and a good friend of mine, Dr. Yehuda Klein, who tells me that he listens to the Good Vort, and he enjoys it very much on the web. The only complaint he has is that we're always giving the shir after the parsha.
Yeah.
He would like to have it before the parsha. So I told him I hear the shir from Rav Schlesinger Shlita Thursday night, and the only possible time we can have a shir in the OU is the subsequent week, and therefore that won't be possible. However, in the spirit of today's Rosh Chodesh Adar, Mishenichnas Ador Marben Besimcha, and we know on Purim there's an Indian of Vinahapachu, that we do things just the opposite. So instead of being late, this year will be early. This will be about Purim. In fact, it's not going to be a shir from Rav Schlesinger Shalita, but Yubadal Ben Chaim L'Chaim. It will be a shir from the Sefer Pachad Yitzchak, from Hagoyen Rav Yitzchak Huttner Zitzal, the Rosh HaYeshiva of Yeshivas Chaim Berlin. And we're going to be discussing a few of his mamorim, which in other swarm of the Pachad Yitzchak, they're called Maimer Aleph or Maimer Beis. Here, I think because they're shorter, and many of them were said during the Purim Suda in Yeshiva Chaim Berlin, they're called Inyan. So we're going to start with Inyan Ches. Rav Huttner, in the last line of this Inyan Ches, says that what we call Megillas Esther, which of course refers to the Megillah, the scroll from which we read the Megillas Esther, what it really means is Megillah, besides the word scroll, Megillah means revelation, legalot, to reveal. So it's Megillas Esther. Esther, the Chazal tell us, Esther min haTorah minayin. How do we know? Where is there a remez for Esther in the Torah? Shenemar, v'anoichi haster aster aspanai. Hashem says that I will hide myself from Klal Yisrael. So the word Esther means something hidden. So that when we say Megillas Esther, it means to reveal that which is hidden. And focus of Rav Huttner's thought here in this Inyan Ches is that idea that Purim represents revealing that which is hidden. He begins with the words of the Vilner Gaon. There's a famous Vilner Gaon who says that the idea of Yom Kippurim, which the Torah calls what we call Yom Kippur, but in the Torah it's called Yom Kippurim, actually means a day that is like Purim. And at first glance, this gross sounds very strange, because if there's one day in the year that we would think is the very opposite of Purim, it would be Yom Kippur. How could we say, okay, it sounds the same, a day like Purim, Yom Kippurim, but in what way is there a link between Purim and Yom Kippurim? So the gross says that we know on every yontiv, we have a rule, chatzi lachem v'chatzi lashem. Half is for you and half is for Hashem, meaning that half of the day you're in shul, you listen to Kriyas HaTorah, you daven, you learn Torah when you're at home in the Beis Medrash, half goes spiritually to Hashem. And chatzi lachem, the other half, a person eats, he drinks, he may go to sleep. So on Yontif, we're doing spiritual things and physical things. Half for you and half for Hashem. The two exceptions to this rule by Yontif would seem to be Purim and Yom Kippurim. Why? Because on Yom Kippur, it's totally Lashem. We know we're like angels on Yom Kippur. We don't eat, we don't drink. It's like totally to Hashem. And on Purim, it's we eat more and we drink wine. And my wife asked me when I told her this word, we do mitzvahs also. Well, we can count on Yom Kippur, we sleep also. So, but it means, let's maybe say the rule, ruboy kekuloy. It's certainly most of the time in Yom Kippur is devoted totally to Hashem, and most of the time on Purim we're involved with physical things, with lachem. So the Vilna Gaon says they're really, Yom Kippur and Purim are not exceptions to the rule, but rather, Yom Kippur and Purim are one big yontif. And through joining together, linking together, and we'll soon see what the link is. That's what Rav Hutter is going to explain in this Inyan Ches, what the link is. But by linking, by merging, forging together, uniting together Purim with Yom Kippurim together, then you wind up, you're back to half. Purim represents the half Lochem, and Yom Kippur represents the half to Hashem. We just have to figure out what is the linkage between Purim and Yom Kippur. So Rav Huttner brings down, before he explains it, a thought from the great Gadol, whose name was Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, or he was known by the city where he came from, Rabbi Yitzchak Petterberger. He says the following thought. He bases it on a Gemara, which we have mentioned before in the Shiurim. The Gemara is found in Masechet Shabbos, on Daf Pei Tesamid Beis, where we find that Yitzchak is called our father. Ki ato avinu, you Yitzchak are our father. Avram didn't know us, and Yisrael, Yaakov, didn't recognize us. Ato Hashem avinu goyalonu me'olam shemecha. So the Gemara gives a whole story over here that the Rabbi Yishlam is going to want to punish Klal Yisrael for their Averis, and he's going to go to Avram to defend Klal Yisrael, and Avram said, no, they deserve to be destroyed. Yemochu al Kedusha Shemecha. He goes to Yaakov, he says the same thing. The only one who stands up for them is Yitzchak. And how does Yitzchak stand up for them? Yitzchak says, what do you want from the Bnei Yisrael? How long does a person live? 70 years. Okay, 35 years, half of his life will take over, is nighttime. And nighttime, in those days at least, people didn't do Averis. Okay, that leaves 35 years. From the 35 years, first of all, you have to take off 20. You have to take 20 years off 70, because the first 20 years Hashem doesn't punish. That leaves 50. From the 50, you have to take off half, that's 25. You're left with 25. From the 25, you have to take off another half, Yitzchak said, because people are davening, and they're eating, and they're attending their bodily needs. That takes up another half of a person's life. You're left with 12 and a half years. So Yitzchak says to Hashem, those 12 and a half years, if you can be soivel the whole thing, Hashem, it's only 12 and a half years that a person could possibly do things wrong during his lifetime. Good. V'im lav, if you can't shoulder those 12 and a half years, palga alai, upalga alecha. I'll split it with you, says Yitzchak, 50-50. Half is on you, Hashem, and half will be on me. And then he goes on to say, and if you can't even take 50-50, I'll take the whole 12 and a half on me. But on this idea that Yitzchak says, and he's the only one who defends Klal Yisrael, and he says, let's split it 50-50, so Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer says, you know what he meant? He meant the following. The Gemara in Masechet Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, says that one of the Amoraim used to daven the following, and he used to say, Hashem, Ritzoneinu Lasis Ritzonecha. Our will is to do your will. That's our inner Ritzon. That's the part that's hidden. You see people do things wrong, but even those people who do things wrong, what's in their inner core, in the essence of their being? They want to do the Ritzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ritzoneinu Lasis Ritzonecha. What is ma'akev? Ela sor shebi'isa. V'shibud malchias are ma'akev. There are two things that prevent us from doing our acting upon our inner rutzen of serving Hashem. And they are the yeast in the dough. That's a euphemism for the yetzer hara. The yetzer, that's why Pesach we have matzahs that doesn't have the yeast. That's the blown up gaiva of the yetzer hara. So the yeast is the yetzer hara. That stops us from doing mitzvahs. And shibud malchus, we have so much stress from the goyim, we're under so much pressure from the anti-Semites against the Jewish people, that causes us to do averus as well. So what Yitzchak was saying to Hashem is, according to Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer, that when we don't do mitzvahs, it's not that we don't really want to. Our inner being really wants to. But half is your fault, Hashem, and half is my fault, Yitzchak. What does he mean? Because the Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed Bey says that Eliyahu told Hashem, Eliyahu was sort of chutzpahic to Hashem, and he said to Hashem, Ato hasiboisu es liba macharanis. It's your fault that the Jews went away from Hashem. And the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to Eliyahu. And why? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Vasher haraosi. I created a Yetzer Hara. I put the Yetzer Hara in a person. So it's my fault. I so to speak, caused them to be bad. So that's what Yitzchak meant to say, Palga Alecha. Half of it is your fault, Hashem. The other half is my fault. Why? Because who's the worst anti-Semite against the Jewish people? That is Edom. That's Esav. So Esav, who created Esav? Whose son was Esav? That was Yitzchak's son. So the Shibud Malchus, we're now in the Golus Edom. We're in the longest Golus that we've had from all the four Golios. That's Edom who wants to destroy us. So that's Shibud Malchus. My son was Esav. So I'm the one who caused that half. So half is your fault, Hashem. Half is my fault. Don't blame the Jewish people. They really want to serve you, but you, Hashem, and me, Yitzchak, we're responsible for what Bnei Yisrael do wrong. That's how Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer understands the Gemara. Says Rav Huttner, if that's the pshat in Palgolai, Upalgolecha, 50-50, half is you and half is me, now we understand what the Vilner Goin says. The Vilner Goin says that if you fuse, if you merge together Purim and Yom Kippurim, you have one big yontiv. Half is for Hashem and half is for us. Meaning that on Purim and Yom Kippurim, our inner will to serve Hashem comes out. And these 2 days, these two holidays, each one takes care of another of the reasons why we don't serve Hashem. The first reason was the Yetzer Hara, which Hashem created and which He made us bad through the Yetzer Hara. On Yom Kippur, we have no more Yetzer Hara. We are like angels. We are devoid of all physical things that cause us to stray from Hashem, and we're like malachim that we're able to serve Hashem. So Yom Kippur is the day where we take away the Se'or Shebi'isa, the yeast in the dough which represents the Yetzer Hara. And on Purim, where it says, Nafal Pachad HaYehudim Aleihem, the fear of which the Goyim usually have on the Jews, v'nehapachu. It was changed around that the Goyim were afraid of the Jews, so we don't have any more Shibud Malchus. We don't have any pressure from the Goyim. They were very respectful. They weren't anti-Semites anymore. They weren't causing us problems. Once we showed that we are able to defeat Poras, were able to defeat the Goyim in the time of Haman. We killed Haman and his 10 sons, and they became afraid of us. So Shibud Malchus went away as well. So therefore, says Rav Huttner, that's the pshat in what Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer was telling us, that, and what the Vilner Goin was telling us, that Yom Kippur is Kippurim, Yom Kippurim. Why is it like Yom Kippur? It has one common denominator together. The common denominator is that we want to do the Ratzon of Hashem. That's our inner essence. The secret inside of us is that every Jew wants to do Hashem's will. So what's the problem? Half Hashem caused the problem of the Yetzer Hara. On Yom Kippur, that goes away. Half the problem was caused that the nations persecute us. That was Yitzchak, what Yitzchak brought against the Jewish people. So that's taken away by Purim. Once you have Yom Kippur, and the final, which came later, Purim. Yom Kippur was much earlier than Purim. So once Purim came, that was like the last nail, the final bang to get rid of the Yetzer Hara and to get rid of the nations of the world. And now Megillas Esther. And now there was revealed the hidden Ratzon of every Jew to serve Hashem. You don't have a problem with the Yetzirah. You don't have Shibud Malchus anymore. Now your inner essence comes out that you want to serve Hashem. And that's what it means that Purim is Chatzi Lochem and Yom Kippurim, it's like Purim. How could Yom Kippur be like Purim? Because both together bring out what the inner Ratzon of a Jew is. Further in the Sefer, in Inyan Chaf Aleph, Rav Huttner says there are more comparisons between Yom Kippur and Purim, and he says that both of them have something to do with destruction. By Yom Kippur, we know that Hashem wanted to destroy the Jewish people after the Chet HaEgel, and Moshe broke the Luchos Rishonos. On Yom Kippur, what happened? He brought down the Luchos Shnios, and the Jews became back the chosen people of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he wasn't going to destroy them. So Hashem had said to Moshe in Shemayim, Heref mi meni vashmidem, leave me alone and I will destroy the Jewish people. And by on Purim, we know what did Haman want to do, lahashmid or laharigal abed. He wanted to destroy the Jewish people, and in both cases, we were saved. The difference between Yom Kippur and Purim is that on Yom Kippur, this all took place in heaven. The Jews down here on earth didn't know what Hashem is telling Moshe in heaven. Hashem tells Moshe, your people sinned, and I have to destroy them. And then he didn't destroy them because of Moshe's tefillahs. Moshe davened that he didn't destroy them. He gave them the second luchos. He took the Jewish people back. Purim, lahashmil argal abed, we knew down here on earth. So that's the same idea. The Chotzi Lashem, the half that is in heaven, that's Yom Kippurim. The half that was down in here on earth, that is Purim. So, and Rav Huttner says that's why both on Yom Kippur and on Purim, there are mitzvahs bein adam lechaveroi. We have to do things one person to another. But on Yom Kippur, where it reflects heaven, there, what do we have to do with our friend? We have to ask him for mechila. You have to ask him for forgiveness. A person should, it says you are supposed to ask forgiveness from your friend. If you caused him some grief during the year, you have to appease him until he's satisfied. So that is not a physical thing. You're not giving him anything physical. You're giving him like something spiritual because that's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur represents what happened in heaven. Hashem wanted to destroy us and he didn't destroy us. On Purim, there, the opposite. There, it's Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'eyu. There, how do we appease our friend? If we had a problem with a friend, we give him a nice Shloach Manos basket and that's how we make up. He sees that you're trying to make up to appease him because you're giving him a very nice Shloach Manos basket. So that, since that was down here on earth, it was physical, that's why the Bein Adam L'Chaveroi is also physical. Now, by the way, I have a chavrusa with Moshe Rottenberg Shlita. He said a very nice thought that, we know, and this ties into the next Indian that Rav Huttner speaks about, we know that the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos that Mikan Moidor Rabbaloi Raisa. What is that referring to? It's referring that when Hashem, Omar, this on Daf Pei Ches Amid Aleph, Omar, Rav Avdimi Bar Chama Bar Chasa, Melamed, it says, Vayisiyatsu Vesachta Sahar, they were under the mountain, Melamed, Shekof HaKadosh Baruch Alem Sahar Kigigis, Hashem took the Mount Sinai, and he brought it over the heads of the Jewish people like a barrel, Va'omar Lem, and he said to them, Imatem Mekabalim HaTorah Mutav, if you accept the Torah good, Vim Lav, Shom Teik V'raskim, if not, the mountain's gonna come down on you and destroy you. Amar of Acher bar Yaakov, Mikan Moidor Rabbaloi Raisa. Here comes a Moidor. It means here's a declaration that if Hashem wants to punish the Jewish people, why didn't you keep the Torah? What do you mean why we didn't keep the Torah? You forced us to accept the Torah. We didn't accept the Torah willingly. And then the Gemara says, even though originally they didn't keep the Torah willingly, in the time of Achashverosh, they accepted the Torah willingly. Dichsev, kimu vekiblu ayehudim, it says. They kimu mashakiblu kvar. They fulfilled what they had already accepted. They had accepted the Torah by force. But Rashi says, since they loved Hashem so much because of the miracle that took place, out of that love of Hashem through the miracle of Purim, they said, you know what? We're not accepting it anymore. We're forced. We're accepting it willingly. Tosfos asks a famous question over here. What do you mean they accepted it by force? Didn't they say, Naseh v'nishma? We will do, and we don't even want to know the reason. After we do, we'll find out what the reason is. We're not going to accept the Torah based on what our understanding is. So they accepted it willingly. So the Medrash Tanchuma gives the Teretz. They accepted Torah Shebiksav willingly. Torah Shebiksav is not so difficult, but Torah Shebal Peh, the Gemara, the Mishnayos, the Oral Torah, which is very difficult, that they weren't ready to accept, that they had to accept by force. So, my Chavrusa, Rav Moshe Rottenberg, said a very nice word. The whole idea of Purim, as Rav Huttner said, Megillas Esther means to reveal the hidden. If you look at the Megillah, Hashem's name is not mentioned one time in the Megillah. And if you look at it superficially, it looks like a chain of events until finally one thing happened after the other, and at the end, Haman gets killed. But someone who looks in it deeper understands HaMelech. Wherever it says HaMelech in the Megillas Esther, it refers to Hashem. The hidden hand that was behind the whole story, behind the whole sequence of events in Purim, was Hashem. So our job is to be revealed the hidden. That's the whole idea of Megillas Esther. We have to see what's behind the scenes. We have to see the Yad Hashem. So just like the whole Yom Tov of Purim is to reveal what is hidden, so too, what is Torah Shebal Peh? Torah Shebal Peh is, it's written in the Torah such and such, and superficially, and Torah Shebal Peh, the oral Torah, is to go deeper than the surface, to look at it in a deeper way and to understand clearly what the Torah is saying, the way Chazal interpret the Torah, but going deeper. And when you go deeper, it's much more difficult. So the Jews wanted to take the superficial Torah, like the Karaim Lahavdil, who only listened in Torah Shebiksav. Not Torah Shebal Peh, but Hashem says no. It's a package deal. You have to accept the Torah Shebal Peh also. So on Purim they accepted it willingly. What did they accept willingly? Even the Torah Shebal Peh, because the whole Yom Tov of Purim is to reveal what is hidden. So in that spirit. That when we see not Kriyas Yamsuf, which was an open Nes Nigla revealed miracle, but in Purim, which is a everyday course chain of events. No, to see it's a Nes Nister, it's a hidden Nes. But who's doing that hidden Nes? Hashem. So in the spirit of the Yontiv of Purim, they didn't only accept the revealed Torah Shebiksav, they even took on the deeper Torah Shebal Peh, the more difficult Torah Shebal Peh, which involves going beyond the surface and going into the deeper part. Now, Rav Huttner in Inyan Tezvav says Purim, not in Inyan Tezvav, but rather in Inyan Inyan Yud Aleph. In Inyan Yud Aleph, Rav Huttner points out that both by Purim and Yom Kippurim, which is like Purim, there's a thing of Kabbalah, accepting. We know when a person does tshuva, which we do on Yom Kippur, you have to charot al-avar, you regret the past, and kabbalah al-abo, you accept the future to change. By Purim, there's also kabbalah, as we just saw, kimu v'kiblu ayudim. They accepted willingly, out of love, what they had accepted by force before. Says Rav Huttner, interesting enough, both have kiblu, accept, but Purim, we don't find charotah, regret. They're the same, Purim and Yom Kippurim, accepting the future. But by Yom Kippur, we find you have to regret the past. By Purim, we don't find. Why is there this difference? So he says a very beautiful explanation. He says, because Purim has nothing to do with regret. It's the opposite. It's to destroy the regret. What does it mean? It means by, let's start with Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, he brings a Rambam, and I think he says a new pshat in a Rambam, which you wouldn't learn the simple way, the Rambam, you wouldn't understand that way. The Rambam says, when a person does tshuva, he tells everybody, Ani acher v'loy oiser isha asa oisan amaisim. I'm somebody else. I'm not the person who you saw did those things, bad things. And the Rambam says he even has to change his name. He gives himself a new name change to say, I am different. I'm not the one who did those bad things. So the simple way that you learn is that, like, we have a thing, Gershon is Geyer, Kikod Shnod. A person who becomes a Ger, he's not anymore, he's like a newborn baby. He, like, gave up his past identity. When a person is a Baal Tshuva, so he gave up his past identity, gives himself a new name. From now on, I'm somebody else. That's how you learn simple. Rav Huttner learns differently. Rav Huttner learns, you know what Charata means? On Yom Kippur, we do Charata on the past. It means the person that sinned, that's not me. We have to understand, according to Rav Huttner, why has he changed his name? Why does he change his name? I think you'll have to say, it's just a sign. I want to show everybody that I'm not really the person. My name is Yosef. The person who sinned is Joe, not Yosef. The real Joe is Yosef. So the real Joe is not the one that you saw doing the Averis. So I changed my name just to indicate that's how Rav Huttner learns. We learned I changed my name because now I'm a new person. Rav Huttner learns, no, I changed my name to indicate that the person who sinned was not the real Yosef. The real Yosef is hidden. As the Rambam tells us that it says, you're not allowed to force somebody to give a get. But under certain conditions, where there's a mitzvah for a person to give a get, and the Chachamim can force them to give a get. So the Rambam asks, it comes out it's forced, and you can't make a forced get. The Rambam says, no, when it's a mitzvah to listen to the Chachamim to give a get in those special circumstances. So every Jew inside of him really wants to do, as we said before from the Rav Huttner, Ritzoneinu, Lasos Ritzonecha. Deep down, the real essence, the real me, is to do the will of Hashem. What stops me? I have a Yetzer Hara from the outside. So the Chachamim give me pech. They hit me. And I have so much pain from the hitting that my Yetzer Hara slowly goes away. I'm going to agree, right? But what the Chachamim are doing when they slap me is they're getting rid of the external Yetzer Hara that is not letting the real me, who wants to listen to Hashem, who wants to listen to the Talmid Chachamim. So I get rid of the outside influence, and then I'm back with the Ratzon HaPnimi. The real Ratzon is to do what Hashem wants, what the Chachamim tell me to do. I got distracted with the Yetzer Hara. The patches that I get, that gets rid of my distraction. Now I can focus on who the real me is. So Charata, says Rav Huttner, regret means that I tell everybody the person who sinned is not the real me. I regret what I did. That's by Yom Kippur. Now let's focus on Purim. Purim, we said, started off with Nasa V'Nishma. Then we got on top of us, this is how Rav Huttner is learning. Then we got a mountain on top of us. And the Gemara says, Mikan Moidor Rabba L'Araisa. Now, if Hashem wants to punish us, we can say to Hashem, wait a second, Hashem, we were forced into this. You took a mountain, you put it over our heads, you said, either you accept the Torah, or you're gonna die right over there, when the mountain's gonna come crashing down on your heads. So, Moidor, when I give a Moidor declaration, let's say somebody comes with a gun and says, sign on this note, I owe you $100,000, and my whole bank account, all my savings goes out with this, I owe you $100,000. But I tell two witnesses that you should know, when I'm going to sign this, it's under duress. I'm moedah, I'm giving you, I'm proclaiming to you, declaring to you that what I'm signing is not with my real intent. It's under duress because I'm afraid of getting killed. Later, the witnesses can come to Beis Din and say he regretted what he signed, meaning that's not the real will that he wants to do. Now comes along Purim, and Purim says, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim, Kimu ma-shekiblu kvar. They accepted with love what they had before, they fulfilled with love what they had accepted before by force. Now they accepted it willingly, because they were so happy with what Hashem did to them on Purim. So now, what does Purim indicate? Purim indicates, yesterday I said I was forced. Today, and I regret, today I'm telling you I want to nullify my regret. And if I nullify my regret, what am I back with? I'm back with Nasa v'Nishma. So Purim is the opposite. Yom Kippur is the person who sinned is not the real me. I regret that I sinned, that was somebody else. The real me is someone who wants to do mitzvahs. We ask the question, why by Purim is there no aspect of regret? The answer is, the way Rav Huttner explains it, the whole idea of Purim is that you're declaring, I don't regret Nasa v'Nishma. My inner will is Nasa v'Nishma. For many years, I did it under duress. Today, I am telling you, I am no longer doing it. For example, let's say in our marshal, a person had a gun to his head, and he signed $100,000, and he told two witnesses that I did it under duress. And then he took another two witnesses, and he said to those two witnesses, yesterday I told two witnesses that when I signed, I did it under duress. But today I'm letting you know that I really, in my mind, when I was signing, I had in my mind that I really want to give him the $100,000. And so I'm destroying my regret. So whereas Yom Kippur is to show regret, Purim is the opposite, is to take away my regret. And to say that when I do a mitzvah now, I do it out of love, I do it out of happiness, because Kimu v'kibla Yehudim, that's why Charata is not mentioned. But the bottom line of this entire shmuz of Rav Huttner is Megillas Esther. That on Megillah, we have, the way he explained for Yitzhak Blazer and the Vilna Gaon, we finally have the last thing that stops us from doing the will of Hashem. Which is the Yetzer Hara, which is Shibud Malchus. The Yetzer Hara we got rid of on Yom Kippur. Purim takes away that we're not afraid of the Goyim. That's the second thing that stops us always from doing the Ratzon of Hashem. On Purim, we take it away. And now, Megillas Esther, we can reveal through Purim what our inner Ratzon is. Our inner Ratzon is Ritzoneinu, Lasis Ritzonecha. So there are countries in the world, Rachmana Litzlan, where Jews have to fear for their lives. And they have to try to take away that Shibud Malchus. In a country like America, we don't, Baruch Hashem, we don't have to fear for our lives, but perhaps we have to fear for our spiritual lives, because all the bad influences around us, that surround us, so our job is that we should try to get rid of the Yetzer Hara and get rid of the Shibud Malchus, not the physical Shibud Malchus, but the spiritual Shibud Malchus. That's also a Shibud. If we can get rid of the Yetzer Hara and the Shibud Malchus, the oppression of the nations of trying to influence us, corrupt us, and to go down the wrong way, then Megillas Esther. Then we can reveal once and for all that when we do Averis, that's not the real me. When we do Averis, that's the Yetzer Hara, that's outer. The inside, the Ritzoneinu, is Lasos Ritzonecha.